It's been a fantastic day.
Amen.
Really has been a fantastic day. One of the names that we haven't been praying for and we need to keep in mind is Royce Armstrong. He's on the road doing the road trip for work. So let's keep him in mind because there are crazy people that are out there. So, yeah, Joanna, you're right here, but there are other crazy people too. So tonight's lesson is entitled Fear. And how we approach fear and how we handle the things that come our way determine if we're going to forget everything and run or face everything and rise. So often people be met with fear and turn and run away, forgetting that we have a God who loves us and cares for us. A personal story. When I was in high school, I was very strong, was in the weight room a lot. But I had a really bad knee and was not a very good football player. And I had worked out really hard. I'd had to sit out for 2 years because of my knee. My senior year, I got to play. But we were having practice, and I was wanting to be a defensive lineman. And the coach had something he called 30-second spats. And what that meant is that anything went. I mean, you wanted to hit somebody, you wanted to tackle somebody, you wanted to knock them down, headbutt them, do whatever. And you had 30 seconds to get the aggression out. And I remember he blew the whistle, and across from me was a guy named Brian Greer. Good friend of mine. Tough football player. And he squared his shoulders, and he was ready for us to hit. And as he ran, I in turn took a sidestep and cleared a sophomore's head clear of whatever he was thinking of. And he kind of mentioned it a little bit later of, you know, yeah, JJ's going to run. And he was disappointed. And you know what? I was disappointed. He wasn't going to kill me. I was a big guy. He was a big guy. But the fact that I saw fear and instead turned to run was another one of the reasons I went to the offensive line. When we see fear, oftentimes we can look back in our lives and think about times we've been afraid, and the things we regret are the times that we've run. The times we're proud of ourselves are when we face that fear head on, regardless of what the consequences were. If we're going to talk about fear, we have to understand fear. Is that hard to read? I could have chose different colors. My apologies. I'll do better about that. We're going to go ahead and define fear. There are two different parts of that. A feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence of imminence of danger and extreme reverence or awe as toward a supreme being. Whenever we look through Proverbs or the Psalms and it says to fear God, that doesn't mean that we are to cower in our boots and be afraid to come to worship services. That means we are going to give God the extreme reverence that He truly does deserve. Our God is the Almighty Creator of the universe. If there is never a time in our society or in our daily walk that we are reverent, be reverent to God. We should never put someone in a level of respect above God. But we're going to focus more on the feeling of agitation and anxiety. 40%, this is based off of a 2003 study, 40% of people have a fear of speaking before a group of people. 30% of people have a fear of heights. When I put that up, it was kind of scary. The Mustang people, those guys hang on bridges like that and just don't have much sense. Some people are really afraid of heights. And it can be tough. 20% of people are afraid of bugs. I purposefully chose not to put a brown recluse for present company. But that spider was scary enough. I'm not a giant fan of bugs, but let me tell you, Daddy's Superman to his girls. If there's a spider, I'm not going to let them get to my sweethearts, all three of them. Well, four of them technically, but hard calling Vince a sweetheart. 20% of people are afraid of flying. You know, it doesn't help that whenever we turn on the news, we don't see, and flight 346B flew from New York to Dallas without anything happening. It's always like, what a mighty explosion as it came down in a fiery ball down into Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to go, and I don't know if I want to fly anymore. 10% of people are afraid of the dark. That's just a black slide. I figured that would do just fine. You know, and 10% of people are also afraid of dogs, between 10 and 20 people. Percent of people, not just 10 and 20 people. And you know, I try to get my daughter, Adeline, acclimated to dogs. And she's afraid of them right now. And I haven't shown the patience that I need to show you, Adeline. Public apology to my sweet little girl. Because I remember going out and knocking doors while I was in preaching school. And if there was a dog in the front yard, hey buddy, this is you. After watching almost a bad accident with one of the guys getting just about bit, I was like, I love people, but I ain't getting bit. So I tell my buddy, you can go to that door. I'll take the next two. I'm scared of dogs sometimes. Some fears are often the result of misinformation. Teenagers, and even some adults, get a little blemish on your face, and the world will end. Everybody in school, they're going to throw a pep rally to make fun of the blemish on your face. But what did we realize as we grew up? People don't think about us near as often as we think they do because they're worried about the blemish on their face. They're worried about being too tall, too short, too fat, too skinny, too blonde, too brunettish. I don't know. Girls, what'd y'all worry about? You know, some fears are often the result of misinformation. Teenagers, you be you. You be a child of God. And you're going to be a winner. Fear makes problems seem greater than they are. And fear prevents us from enjoying the blessings that we have. That's the kicker that we need to take from this evening. When we have fears that prevent us from enjoying the life that God has given us, the life that God has provided, we're doing ourselves a big disservice to the point of not reaching the potential that God would have for us to meet. So our first point, who helps overcome fear in life? That would be Jesus. Matthew 28:20, the end of the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I love that verse. Jesus is with us in this life. Jesus is with us, ready to wrap His arms around us when we cross that finish line to glory. We live for Him. We look in 1 Peter 2:24, talking about Christ. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. Those of us who've obeyed the gospel, we're healed. When we repent, when we commit a sin, when we repent, that sin is thrown as far as the east is from the west. It's thrown into the depths of the sea. It's thrown over God's shoulder. It's no more in His presence. We can again be right with Him. When we sit around and beat ourselves up over mistakes that we've made, things that have happened to us, basically we're taking the power away from what Christ did for us. Some people say, well, that's just my conscience. Well, we can train our consciences to be aligned with the Bible. We consider what Jesus did for us. It should clear our mind of so many anxieties. Joshua 1:9. Chris mentioned this verse this morning. While he and I have different preaching styles, I really enjoy it when we preach and come to find out we've used the same verse. It shows the Bible's powerful, but we see verses that can speak to us on many different topics and in many different ways. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What does that mean to you? We're going to face fears in this life. Things that are scarier than bugs and heights. We're going to face different difficulties. Let's face them head on. Let's face them head on and let people know that they're dealing with people who believe in an almighty God, who understand that Jesus died for them and that there is nothing anyone can do to separate us from God. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can anyone do to us? God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. That's powerful. In Romans 14:8, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Regardless of today, regardless of tomorrow, regardless of 100 years from now, be alive or dead, we belong to God. If we are obedient to what He would have us to do, we are God's. Never to leave Him again. It's amazing. In the 146th Psalm, verses 3 and 4, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. We have had president after president after president seek the Oval Office and make promises, haven't we? Democrat, Republican, bull moose. That was a fun one. Teddy Roosevelt was a bull moose. Where'd that party go? That's a lot of fun to say. We have all of these different political parties all make promises. But when that president leaves office, we're getting a whole new set of promises. Some of those promises are never fulfilled. We can make promises all day. Doesn't matter if you're a president. Make decrees, say this is how things are going to be, but when I die, all of my plans will perish. My wife and I can talk about going to Disney World, because for the past 5 years she's badgered me into thinking that it's a good idea. And now the oldest thinks it is too, so I'm softening up to it. But if something were to happen and I were to pass away, those plans perish along with me. The desires that each of us have to do on this earth, when we breathe our final breath, they're gone. The plans that you have are no more. We should also focus on the fact that we don't put our trust in another human being. Chris is a cool dude. Amen. I'm a pretty cool dude. Chris wouldn't put his trust in me. I wouldn't put my trust in him. If I want to go to heaven, it's going to be by studying the Bible and being obedient to it. Don't put your trust in anyone. Because we're going to die. Put your trust in the immortal, in the undying,
Almighty God.
So who helps overcome fear in death? 20% of people on the list said that they were afraid of death, which shocked me. 40% of people are afraid of public speaking, and 20% of people are afraid of death? Whatever. I guess I could see that. I don't know. Hebrews 2:14-15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. We consider death. It's nothing to fear. People die in different ways. I'd like to die peacefully in my sleep, like my grandfather, not screaming like the passengers in his car. Moldy oldie, moldy oldie. I think everybody's heard that one. Jesus came and lived as we live. If Jesus hadn't come, on the day of judgment, there would have been a flaw in God's plan. Because we as humans could say, you didn't know. You created everything, but you didn't know what it was like to be us. You're perfect, you're holy, you're pure. We were in a world of free will. If you didn't live as a man, how can you know what we endured? With his sending Jesus to be the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus is able to say, I know what you're going through. Persevere. Continue on. You die, you'll be with me if you're right with me. We shouldn't fear death if we're obedient to the gospel. I'd be afraid of death if I wasn't right with God. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. I'd love for Jesus to return right now. Come back. I want to go to heaven. I had to do a little study over what heaven is going to be like. Streets paved with gold, clear type of gold. So beautiful that words can't describe it. I want to go home. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of being attacked. I'm tired of persecution. Even if it is small compared to the first century, I want to go home. I want to see Jesus. I want to ask Moses questions. I want to talk to people. I want to see my grandmother again. I want to see my grandparents. But on the other hand, I don't want Jesus to return, because we have a community of people who are lost, and we should desire to take them with us. We have to be active in doing that. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, as I referenced earlier, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. I'm going to fear God. There may come a time where terrorists come and make us choose God or death. I'm ready to serve God, because all they can do is kill this body. They can't separate my soul from God. We need to be a people that are ready to stand strong, ready to stand up for God. And that doesn't mean just showing up on Sundays. That means the community, the people in your circle, the people that are around you need to know that you are a Christian. You were bought by Jesus' blood, that you were made different. People need to know this about you. So we've talked about fears of life. We've talked about fears of death. Who helps overcome fear and what comes after death? That's Jesus again. John 4, 1 through 3, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." He's prepared us a place. There is a place that is waiting for us, ready for us, and a place that we should be living like we are ready for. Philippians 3, 20 through 21, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." I love being a Texan. I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could. And let me tell you, I love being an American. But first and foremost, I love being a citizen of God. I love that no matter what happens to Texas, if anybody attacks us, they better be ready. I love being an American, but countries fall. I need to put my focus on being a citizen of God, preparing myself for a citizenship that's in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we see a more melancholy tone coming from Paul's writing as compared to the prison epistles that were written sometime earlier while he was imprisoned. That's why they're called the prison epistles. Not a clever name. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8, we don't see the upbeat "prepare a bed for me" like he said in Philemon. He says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." I love God. I love Jesus for what He did for me, for what He did for you. I love fellowship activities. I wish we could see more people coming back on the first Sunday of the month, coming in, eating together, getting together. From now on, I'll bring my water back there. But we consider the opportunities we have. I love watching football games with the Sparks and Donnie, Chris, and Michelle. I love getting to do, I'm looking forward to seeing tennis matches with Michael. I'm looking forward to seeing basketball with Cade. Looking forward to seeing whatever play Lauren does and the journalism with Joanna and Sam. There are many others that do activities, and I'm looking forward to being a part of those. Not because I'm the preacher. It's because I'm a Christian and I love you. Amen. What's going to be greater is the time that we get to spend together in heaven. This is the cake. Heaven's the icing on the cake. This is the time for us to work together and enjoy one another. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready for all of us to be there, enjoying each other's company as we worship the Almighty. It's going to be great. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible to know that there is good that awaits for those who are obedient after this life. We have to know that there is an alternative. And when we're not obedient to what God would have us to do, that alternative is going to become a very real reality. Can't think of better words. That's why it's so important for us to face our fears, to be comforted in these scriptures, to know that if we do what's right, there is a place that is prepared for us. Conclusion of the lesson. Who helps us overcome fear in life? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who helps us overcome fear of death? Again, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And who helps us overcome fear of after death? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you face fear, are you going to forget everything and run? Or are you ready to face everything and rise? You know, this evening, if you're not right with God, do whatever it takes to get right with God. We're not going to ask you to come up here and make a testimony because that's not biblical. But if you need the prayers of the congregation to help you in your walk, don't hesitate to let your brothers and sisters pray for you, to pray with you, because we want everyone here to be as strong as they possibly can be. But if you're not a Christian, I'd encourage you to become one. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as John 3:16 states, you're ready to repent of your sins, as Christ said in Luke 13:3, repent or likewise perish. If you're ready to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, to walk in a newness of life, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state, and you're ready to live a life facing everything and rising, standing strong for God, living the best life that there is to live, with the reward being an amazing eternity that our human words can't describe. I would encourage you to be obedient to the gospel. If you have any spiritual needs, any, this is serious. If you have any spiritual needs, get right with God before it's too late. Do whatever it takes to get right as we stand and as we sing.